Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Metzia Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Mem Dalet, at the beginning of the new perek, the fourth perek of Bava Metzia perek, Hazov. In the margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Meshichas HaPri. Now, the word pri often is translated as fruits, but in this perek, we'll have to be rather open-minded and flexible as with regard to translations of certain concepts that we'll encounter concerning commercial transactions. In this case, the term pri is a reference to hametatalin, portables. The drawing of a portable in a transaction, mechayeves hamoyshech, obligates the one who draws the item l'shalem to pay hativa. The word tiva, maybe you're familiar with the word matbea, the coins. Tiva means hakesef, hatashlum. Upon drawing the portable, the item that you want to acquire, that obligates you in the payment of the money. V'einom yichulim lachzer bohem, and that we call is the point of no return. In other words, they cannot back out. Once the kinyan is performed, once the act, the gesture of acquisition is accomplished, no backing out. In order to appreciate what we are going to be learning, for many of us, we're going to have to release ourselves from the shackles of convention. I think it's fair to say that most of us would feel that if you want to buy an item and you pay the money, that's the deal. You paid for it, as people say. That clinches the deal. That way of looking at things is not the way that we will be viewing transactions as we go through this perek. We are not suggesting for even a moment that the way we do things has some kind of fault to it, because in the Gemara itself, in this Masechta, we find that how transactions are clinched is actually, or I should say, is ultimately dependent on local custom. But in the absence of, we'll say, of local custom, when you look at, we'll say, the raw basic Talmudic legal system, acts that clinch deals, that represent the point of no return, that we refer to by the general term kinyonim, are defined. Those acts are defined by what is being transacted. Hence you find laws regarding the transaction of real estate, as is featured in Maseches Kiddushin, and along with real estate, transactions of slaves, of documents. You also have laws involving transactions of different kinds of animals, large animals versus small animals. Laws that refer to the acquisition of portables. With that in mind, and the extreme need for, as I said before, flexibility of thought, we continue with this topic. And the Mishnah points out that it's the drawing of the portable, of that which is classified as the pri, which then obligates the new owner, the one who just acquired it, to then pay the cash, pay the money. What is defined as cash? What is defined as a portable, as pri? You may be surprised to find out, might be relative. It might be relative to what is being transacted. It might be relative to what is the accepted form of currency in a particular location. We will learn the Mishnah, but immediately learn the Rashi. The beginning Rashi serves as a very fine introduction to the topic that will preoccupy us for quite a while in the Gemara. As far as the Mishnah markings are concerned, there's a double underline marking that you can see under our Mivneh heading, our structural note, also in the margin. The double underline highlights Shnei Dvorim Shenechshovim Pira Mul Kesef, two items that are considered like Pira, the portable, in the face of Kesef. Kesef means, it can mean coins, and oftentimes it's a reference to silver coins. The expression Kaina Es HaKesef is dashed, underline, and unfortunately many of us fall into the trap of literal translations, and in this case we're going to have to be a little broad in our thinking when it comes to translating the word Kaina Es HaKesef. It's going to mean obligates the payment of kesef. Literally, kaina would be translated as acquires the kesef. Here we're going to be talking about the drawing of an item that we're going to classify as the portable. Upon drawing, the item, kaina es hakesef, obligates the payment of the coins, obligates the one who just acquired the item to pay for it. In this Mishnah, we're going to be referring to transactions of coins, gold coins, silver coins, copper coins. And as I said before, the issue of what is considered a coin and what is considered the portable is a relative consideration. The Mishnah begins, Hazov Kaina Es HaKesef. HaKesef Eino Kaines HaZov, which means the drawing, if I am interested, let us say, in acquiring silver, gold coins, so I draw the gold coins. Upon my drawing the gold coins that you have, that obligates me to pay you the equivalent value in silver coins. Upon my drawing the gold coins, there's no backing out. That clinches the deal. And now I have an obligation to pay you for what I drew, and I'll pay you with the accepted currency, the silver coins. Hanechoshes kainas hakesef, hakesef ainu kainas hanechoshes. Likewise, when I'm interested, let us say, in acquiring copper coins, I draw the copper coins, that obligates me to pay you for the copper coins that I took from you, and that obligates me to pay you the accepted currency, the silver coins. The other way around, though, HaKesef Eino Kaines HaKesef, if I am interested in buying from you and acquiring from you copper coins, and I pay you ahead of time for them in cash, I pay you with the Kesef, with the silver coins, that doesn't clinch the deal. That's Eino Kaines Es HaKesef, doesn't clinch the deal. The Mishnah said that with regard to the gold as well. If I paid you for the gold coins, I paid you with silver currency for the gold coins, that doesn't clinch the deal. Because relatively speaking, the portable in these cases happens to be the copper coins, the gold coins, the means of payment, the cash. That happens to be the silver currency. And just to review the rule again, payment of currency for an item does not clinch a deal. In other words, the parties can back out. However, the drawing of the portable, of the fruit, so to speak, the pira, that clinches the deal, and it creates an obligation to pay for it. We now turn our attention to the Rashi. Hazov kines hakesef, halokeach dinarei zov tvuim bedinarei kesef. Someone is buying minted gold coins. Tvuim is an expression meaning that there's an imprimatur that appears on the coin. In the time of the Gemara, the common form of imprimatur were the kings, the monarchs of that particular era. So one is interested in acquiring gold coins and intends to pay for them with silver cash. The nosan lo dinrei zov, and he gave the customer the gold coins. Meshichas hazov kines hakesef lebal hazov, the drawing of the gold coins thereby creates, we'll say, acquisition of the silver, in other words, the obligation to pay the silver coins to the original owner of the gold. V'nischayev loizeh mishikibel dinrei zov losais loy dinrei hakesef. And the customer, upon receiving the gold coins, is obligated. This chayev means he's obligated to pay him with the silver cash. The eino yochol lachzer bo, and he cannot back out. Avol hakesef eino koines hazov. However, the silver cash does not obligate the delivery of the gold coins. Shim nosan lo dinrei hakesef tchila. If at the outset the silver cash was used to pay for the gold, but no act of acquisition, no kinyan was done on the gold, no drawing of the gold yet. Lo kona, the mere payment of the silver coins does not clinch the deal. V'yicholim shneim lachzor, and both parties could decide to back out. D'matbea kesef, a silver coin, have a mo'is, is classified as mo'is. Mo'is, the current, it's classified as the currency. Why? Mishum d'charifi v'nosein b'hoitzah. It's the most common form, or most acceptable and popular form of payment. Charifi has to do with a high level of frequency for paying for items. It is the most common form of currency. In fact, the word currency may be reminiscent of the word current in a flow of the river. A river current has to do with the flow, with a form of regularity. And the word charifi has a very similar connotation. So that which is charifi is classified, as far as we are concerned at this point in time, that which is charifi is the currency. So the dinar zahav eino elo kishar metatlin peros. Gold coins are no different than other kinds of portables and fruits. Umois einon koinois ad shimshach metatlin. Payment of currency does not clinch deals until the drawing of the portables. Avol meshichas hametaplin kine. However, the drawing of the portables does clinch the deal. Is kine. V'ene chod me'am yochol lavzer boy. And neither party can back out once the meshicha, the drawing of the metaplin, of the portables, is performed. Uv'a gemora meforish time, and the gemora will explain the basis of that. Ika dialef meshicha min haTorah. There are those that say meshicha is an expectation from the Torah itself, because the muki law betakanta de rabbonan, and there are those that say that meshicha is a rabbinic enactment, namely, in theory, on a pure Torah level, payment of cash would have clinched the deal, but the rabbis enacted not so, and rather meshicha is the clincher. Back to the Mishnah. Mois horois kainois es hayofois. Vayofois einon kainois es horois. Mois horos, Rashi says, shenifsilu. Canceled currency. Discontinued form of coinage. If one draws them, he acquires coins like that. That kainos is a yofos that obligates the payment for them in the current coinage. Vayofos einon kainos es horos means that payment for the mois horos, for the discontinued currency, does not obligate the or does not clinch, doesn't obligate the deal to go through. In other words, they could still back out. Asimon kaina es hamatbea, v'hamatbea eino kaina es asimon. Asimon is a reference to an unminted coin. In other words, you would have a metallic disc before the imprimatur is made. That would be called an asimon. Drawing asimon obligates the payment for it in terms of the matbea. The matbea is the minted coin. That's the currency. However, paying ahead of time with the currency does not obligate the delivery of the asimon. And the parties could still back out. Metaltalin kainin es hamatbea. Matbea eino kainin es hamatatalin. By drawing portables, that obligates the payment of the coin, payment of for it by currency. However, payment of currency ahead of time before the drawing of the metaltalin does not obligate the delivery of the metaltalin. Kol hametaltalin kainin ze eze. Rashi on this point says, "Kol hametaltalin kainim zeh." That would mean that the drawing of a portable obligates the payment of it in the form of other metaltalin. That would be a literal translation. What kind of transaction are we describing? So Rashi points out two types of transaction that are alluded to by this general statement of kol hametaltalin kainin zeh azeh. Bein b'toras chalifin. Chalifin would mean an exchange. Shehichlif elu be'elu. That one is exchanged for another. Kevon shemoshach ho'echad. If, let us say, we agree to transact, to exchange, maybe you can use the term to barter items. So the drawing of one, kevon shemoshach ha'echod, by drawing one of the items, kona chaveru es shelo, the other party from whom you just drew his item acquires that which is in your possession to be transferred to him. And again, the word kona means the deal is clinched at that point. So when two items are being bartered, the drawing of one clinches the deal and the other item must be delivered. No backing out. Bein b'toras domim. The idea of metaltalin kainin zeh zeh can be in the form of domim. Domim means a value payment. One should be careful not to say a cash payment, because we're not dealing with the payment for the item in terms of cold cash, but we are talking about the acquisition of one item, its value being established, and in exchange another item will be used to pay for the item that was just acquired, that was just drawn. In that case, the use of the metaltalin, of the second portable, is, it will say, in lieu of currency. That's called teiras domim, as Rashi explains. An example. Bekamo titein li es shelcha. How much will it cost me to acquire your item? So if, let us say, someone has a book, and I'm interested in acquiring the book, I ask the current owner of the book, in exchange for how much would you give me the book? And he says, bekach bekach, and mentions an amount. He says, I'll give it to you for $1. Vezeh chozer v'omer lo, and the one who just, we'll say, agreed to transfer his book away, notices that in the other party's possession is an item that he, the original book owner, is interested in acquiring. So the fellow who just agreed to, we'll say, sell his book for $1, notices that the acquirer happens to have a pen that he is interested in. So the original book owner says, "Bekamoti teni shocha." For how much would you give me your pen? And he says, "Bekach bekach, I'd give it to you for $1." V'nisratzu, and they agreed. U'moshacho echod, and the fellow trying to acquire the book drew the book. Niskaimu hadvorim, the deal is clinched vis-a-vis the pen as well, so that by drawing the book, the ownership of the pen, even without the actual drawing of the pen, the transfer of ownership is accomplished. V'hai kol, the Mishnah used the expression kol hametatlin. Nasiya filo kis mole mois bekis mole mois kidu reish lokish bagemora. This will come to include even a case of a transfer of a pouch of money in exchange for another pouch of money. In other words, coins are going to be transferred in through this method. But we're going to have to, again, be open-minded or flexible in understanding that we're not necessarily referring to standard currency in the common sense. We turn back to the Mishnah. We read the opening of Kol HaMetatlin Koinin Zezeh Ketzad, an example of that. Moshach Himenu Peros Velo Nosan Loimois. If I drew Peros and didn't yet pay cash for them, Eino Yochol Lachzerbo, he cannot back out. There's the point of no return is reached when you draw the portable. Nosan Loimois Velo Moshach Himenu Peros. If cash was paid prior to the drawing of the Peros, Yochol Lachzer Bo. Both parties, either one, can back out. Avol Omru. However, the rabbis say, Mi Shepora. And maybe before we read on in the Gemara, just a word of introduction. Up till now, we've been saying that the deal clincher is the drawing of the portables. We also mentioned that the payment of the cash does not clinch the deal. And even though cash is paid, if it's prior to the drawing of the portable, the parties can back out. Does that mean then that paying of cash up front or ahead of time is a meaningless gesture? It has no commercial significance whatsoever. So the Mishnah will go on to tell us that even though by letter of the law the deal is not clinched, it however is, to put it mildly, is undesirable. In fact, we'll see it's worthy of a curse. One who pays for something and then they back out of the deal. And that's what the Mishnah goes on to say, Avol Omru, but they say, Mishapora Mianshi Dora Mabul Umidora Ploga, the one, the Almighty, who punished the generation of the Great Flood and the generation of the Tower of Babel, the Dor HaFloga, where the peoples of the world and their ability to communicate were confounded. He who punished them Hu asid li para mimi she'ena oimei b'diburo. He will punish those that don't keep to their word. So that for our purposes, the Mishnah is saying that if an agreement was reached, and certainly if money was paid up front, even though the drawing of the item was not yet accomplished, it's not a good idea to back out. Certainly for one party to back out when the other party is still interested in going through with the deal. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. The first opinion, in other words, the opinion up till now, said that with the payment of the money, the deal is not clinched, and both parties, or either party, can back out. Rabbi Shimon comes along to say that when the money is paid, only the seller of the item, the one who received the money up front, he is the one that could still back out. The other party cannot back out anymore. So Rabbi Shimon says, Kol shakesef biyadoi, he in whose possession is found the money, yadoi al elyon, he has the upper hand. Rashi, right under the Gemara text, says, Kol shakesef biyadoi, poligad rabbonon. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Rabbanon. Diamri nosan lo imois yocho lachzer ba'afilu lokeach. If the money is paid prior to the drawing of the item, even the purchaser who paid the money can back out. The fact that he paid the money is meaningless on a strictly legal basis. The Yosef Shimon lemeimar, Rabbi Shimon comes along to say moicher shakol biyodehu biyocho lachzer bo. When the money is paid up front, prior to the drawing of the item being transacted, the mocher, the seller, has everything in his possession. The item hasn't been drawn yet, and he has just received the cash. So he is the one shakol biyado. Everything is in his possession. He has the power to back out. Aval lokeach, the purchaser, the individual in this case who paid the money up front, Ein yochol lavzerbo, he cannot back out. Uva Gemara, before his time of the Gemara, will explain the reason. We now turn to the Gemara itself. Before we look into the Gemara text itself, let us glance to the side in the margin where we have our Nosei / Mivneh heading. You'll notice that a diamond is featured. The diamond highlights the words Bialdusecha and Biziknusecha. We refer to them as Yaldusei Biziknusei de Rebbe. Rebbe, Rebbe Yudah Nasi, the editor of the Mishnayos, in his youth he taught one thing, and in his later years, he taught something else. Actually, taught the opposite. Shnei Gishois, two approaches, Hafuchos, opposite approaches. Bekesef mul zahav, with regard to silver coins, in the context of an exchange for gold coins, silver being exchanged for gold, or vice versa, gold being exchanged for silver. Ma nechshav hativa uma hapiro, what is considered the currency, and what is considered the non-currency, the piro, the portable. We took extensive measures in our opening remarks during today's shiur to point out that the way we view things may be relative. We suggested having a certain degree of flexibility of thought when approaching the various items being transacted. This piece of Gemara will highlight the need for that level of flexibility. We continue in our note, He'ora, we want to point out, Maftech Lavonas HaSugya Adaf Mem Vov, the key for understanding the Gemara until Daf Mem Vov. Here we're just on Daf Mem Dalet right now, so for the next two Dapim, the key for understanding who is Boinein B'yachas Bein HaDvorim, to think about, to analyze the relationship between the different items. Ma nechshav pira, uma nechshav tiva. What is considered the non-currency versus what is considered the currency? Lios er lekach. It's important to be aware. Dilif omim, at times, hadover yachasi. The matter is subjective. Lamoshal. An example of subjectivity. Zahav nechshav pira legabi kesef. Gold coins might be considered as portables relative to silver currency. Aval zahav yechashev tiva legabi peros mamish. However, let us say someone is purchasing actual fruits that were harvested from a tree. And one intends to pay for the fruits with gold coins. In a transaction like that, the gold coins will be considered the currency relative to actual fruits. Nafkamina, there are halachic ramifications to this legabi pidyon meiser sheni with regard to the redemption of the Meiser Sheni tithe. Now we're mentioning this specific ramification because that's what we will see focused upon in the Gemara. The other, we'll say, obvious ramifications are, what is the deal clincher? Drawing the fruits or drawing the gold coins? But the Gemara will focus extensively on the topic of redeeming Meiser Sheni produce, kidemuva ba Gemara ba Midbeis, as the Gemara will explain, will feature in the next Omid. The details and the significance of currency in the context of redeeming Meiser Sheni produce will hopefully be introduced by yours truly when we get to the Gemara on Omid Beis. In the meantime, we turn back to the Gemara text, and we mentioned that Rebbe experienced a change of mind in the analysis of the relative relationship between Zahav and Kesef. The Gemara, Masni le Rebbe le Rebbe Shimon Brei. Rebbe taught his son Rebbe Shimon, Hazav koines haKesef. Now that is what we saw in our Mishnah. That would mean, then, that the drawing of the gold coins clinches the deal and obligates that individual to pay the currency, pay the silver currency. Omar Lei, Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi, Shonis Lonu B'Aldusech, he turns to his father and he says, Shonis means you taught us in your youth, HaKesef Kaina Esazov, that drawing of the silver coins obligates the payment of the gold currency. And in a construction like that, the silver coins are the pira. And drawing the pira, the portable, the we'll call it the non-currency, obligates the payment of the gold, which is the currency. The Tachzor v'tishne lanu, are you now going to reverse and teach us b'ziknusecha in your advanced years, hazov kine es hakesef? Should that be that, in other words, you are changing your mind? We'll look at that right now simply as a exclamation on the part of Rabbi Shimon, it's a rhetorical point. It's clear, though, that Rebbe, through the words of Rabbi Shimon, has undergone a major turnabout regarding this topic of what is the currency and what is the portable. The Gemara elaborates. But Yalduseh Maisovar, Ubizuknuseh Maisovar, in his youth, what was his thinking? And in his advanced years, what was his thinking? But Yalduseh Sovar, in his youth, he held Dahava the choshiv havitiva. The dalet of the word davo can be interchanged with a zayin. You have Aramaic davo, and if you switch the dalet for zayin, you get zahav. So that in his youth, he considered the gold as the tiva, as the currency. Why? Because definition of currency is dependent on importance, on significance. So that gold is more significant, is more valuable, more expensive than silver. Hence, the gold is classified as the tiva, as the coin. Kaspa de lo choshev havipira. Silver, which is not as significant, it's not as important, is considered the pira. Vekoni le pira le tiva. And the drawing of that which is classified as the pira, in this case the drawing of the kesef, will obligate the payment of the currency, in this case the gold. Now this expression we've highlighted, you can see with a double underline, because you'll see the same expression appearing on the second line from the top of Amud Beis. This is a rule. This is not something that's subject to, we'll say, debate. What is the drawing of the pira that obligates the payment of the tiva? That is subject to debate, to discussion. Biziknuse Sovar, in his advanced years, he was of the opinion. Kaspa, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Silver, the chorif, which is more current, more commonly used. We saw this expression much earlier in today's shiur when we were learning the Rashi. What is the defining factor in establishing a currency? The frequency of use, that's the charif, charifus of it. Silver, which is a more common form of currency in commercial transactions, have a tiva, that is the tiva, that's the coinage, that's the currency. Davad al charif, gold coins, which are not as commonly used in commerce, have a pira. Since it's less commonly used, it is classified as the pira, as the metaltalin, as the portables. The koni le pira le tiva, and the drawing of the pira, which in Ziknusei the Rebbe is the gold, obligates the payment of the tiva of the kesef. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. A new marking appears, the diamond, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei / Mivne heading, the diamond is explained as Gishois. These diamonds, as you scan down the Gemara, you'll see several of them. These introduce approaches, kialduse de Rebbe, that agree with Rebbe's youth point of view. Dezav havetiva, that the gold is considered the currency. Yesh litzayin, it's worthy of pointing out, da Gemara doiche shnei gishas rishonis, the Gemara will reject the first two approaches. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of a squiggle underline highlighting the expression Iyamris Bishlama Elo Iyamris, meaning if you say the suggested way, then things in Bishlama work out well. But if you say to the contrary, then we will have a problem. Heora, we want to point out Behemshecha Gemara Yofil Oid Deis Kialduse de Rebbe. As the Gemara continues, there will be more opinions following in conformity to Rebbe's youthful standpoint. The dava equals tiva, velo simanu oisam with the diamonds. But we didn't continue to highlight them with the diamond marking, so that as you're learning with our marked Gemaras, at least according to the this recording and the current edition, don't come with a claim, let's say later, that aren't there more opinions that agree with Yalduse the Rebbe. We're pointing out there will be more opinions like that, but we did not highlight them. Now, the Gemara. We continue with this Gemara. Second line from the top, Omar Ravashi. Notice we have a long marking. Ki Yalduse Mistabra. The approach of Yalduse, the youthful approach of Rebbe, is more likely. Namely, that the gold is the currency, is the tiva. Midikotani, from the fact that it is taught, Hanechishis Kine Es HaKesef. Now, where did we see that? We saw that in our Mishnah. It might very well be then, and this thought occurs to me just now as I'm speaking, making this recording, so I haven't thought it out too much, but the issue of Yalduse and Ziknuse would basically be, how should we read our Mishnah? How should the opening of the Mishnah appear? And I say that because Rav Ashi wants to substantiate the Yalduse approach based on the continuation of our Mishnah. So that it would then appear, as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, that the opening of the Mishnah should be HaKesef Kainis Hazov. And by saying that HaKesef Kainis Hazov, that means drawing the silver, obligates the payment of the gold, which is the currency. Why does Rav Ashi say that that's the more likely approach? Because as the Mishnah unfolds, it says HaNechoshes Kainis HaKesef, that the drawing of the copper obligates the paying of the silver. E amrs bishlamo kaspa legabi dava pirahave. If you say that the silver coins relative to the gold, so the silver is the pira. The silver is viewed as the portable, the non-currency. Hainu dekotoni. So I can therefore understand the continuation of the Mishnah that says HaNechoshes Kainis HaKesef, that the drawing of the copper coins will obligate the payment of the silver coins, and in that case the silver coins represent the currency. Diafalpi delegabi davo pirahavya, even though the silver relative to the gold, the silver is the non-currency. Legabi nechayshes tivahavi, but relative to copper coins, the silver is, yes, the currency. What we see then is that the silver and its classification is relative. That approach, Rav Ashi says, is logical. In other words, by viewing the kesef as the pira relative to the gold, that justifies the continuation of the Mishnah with a contrasting situation. Namely, in the context of Nechoshes, the kesef is then viewed as the currency. That makes sense. It makes sense that the Mishnah would teach all of that information for the purpose of showing this element of relativity or contrast in how you look at the kesef. Eloi amris kaspa legabi davo tivo have. But if you're going to say that the silver currency relative to the gold, the silver is the currency, like the Ziknuse, like the approach Rebbe takes in his advanced years, so that Kesef, with regard to gold, the Kesef is the Teva. Well, then, Ashto legabi davo de choshev minei amris Teva have. Mind you, silver relative to gold, gold is more important than the silver, and yet the silver has the distinction of being called the currency, even though it doesn't have that defining element of currency. Namely, silver lacks chashivus relative to gold, and yet the silver is going to be viewed as the currency. Lagabi nechoshes, relative to copper. De'ihu choshev yuchorif, silver has both elements of ma'is, of currency defining. Silver relative to copper is not only more important, but it's also chorif. It's also more commonly used. Mibaya, what I need to teach the continuation of the Mishnah would be so obvious. And as you know, Mishnayos do not teach, are not designed to teach me the obvious. So if you approach, just to repeat, if you take the Ziknusei Derebi approach to things, that the silver is the currency with regard to gold, the continuation of the Mishnah would be superfluous. And yet, it appears. So the fact that it appears gives Rav Ashi his basis for saying that the Yaldusei Derebi is the more acceptable, the more logical approach. Namely, that Kesef, with regard to gold, is Pira, gold being more significant, more important than Kesef. However, Kesef, with regard to copper, becomes the Tiva, becomes the currency, because of its, we'll say, its characteristics of being more important and more current than the copper. The Gemara here rejects Ravashi's, we'll say, logic. Ravashi tried to argue from his point of, we'll say, he said, mistabra, like the Yaldusei approach. Here, we reject that. You'll notice if you are fine-tuned to markings, you notice on the third line from the top at the beginning of the line, the word mistabro was dashed underlined. In contrast, we dash in line itzderif, that we will tell you that even though Rebbe would have taught that silver is the currency vis-a-vis the gold, there still is a necessity of teaching me that silver is the currency relative vis-a-vis the nechoshes. It's derech. Salka daita chamina. If I had not been taught the continuation of the Mishnah, namely hanechoshes kenes hazekesev, I would have taught only that hazov kenes hakesev, like the Ziknusei Derebi, and if I would have taught you only that silver is a matbea, is a tiva, relative to gold, I would not have known necessarily what is the state of things with silver relative to copper. I would have thought, hani priti, priti are copper coins, but asra desagi inu harifi tfeme kaspa, in locations that the copper coins are used as currency, they are, in those kind of locations, they are more common, they're harifi, they're more popular than silver. Ema, because of that characteristic that copper has, that there are places that it's more commonly used. Ema tivahavi. I would have thought that the nechoshes is viewed as the tiva, as viewed as the currency. Komashmo and kivon di iko duchta dolo sagi bay. So the Mishnah reveals to us, since there are places that it's not so common, that copper coins are not so commonly used, pira havi. Nechoshes is defined as pira, as defined as the portable. It would appear at this point that the fact that there are places that nechoshes is more popular, that still is not going to establish the nechoshes as the currency. That is so because it's offset by the fact that there are places that copper coins are not so current. It's my thinking that you might want to argue that, well, doesn't one cancel out the other? So it appears to me that silver nevertheless also has under all circumstances relative to copper the additional factor of being chashiv, of being more important. We continue. V'af Rabbi Chiya savar dava tivahave. Rabbi Chiya, who was a contemporary of Rebbe, he also holds, like the Yalduse de Rebbe, that dava, that the gold, is the tiva, is the currency. Where do we see that Rabbi Chiya assumes that position? So we have an incident. The Rav Oizif Dinri Mibarte de Rabbi Chiya. Rav Oizif Dinri, he borrowed gold coins from Rabbi Chiya's daughter. Just parenthetically, Rav was Rabbi Chiya's nephew. So it could be then that Rav was borrowing gold coins from his first cousin. Lasoif Iker Dinri. As time went on, when, let's say, payback time came about, the gold coins became worth more. What we just said, became worth more, is a term that, if you scrutinize that expression in light of Gemara we haven't seen yet, you might find a certain level of inaccuracy. But for, let's say, for our initial learn through of this Gemara, we'll stick to the translation, and that is that when Rav borrowed the gold coins, they were worth such and such on the market, and as time went on, they went up in value. Also, lekamei de Rabbi Chiya. He came to Rabbi Chiya with the following problem. The problem is, by the way, not spelled out in the Gemara, but what issue was preoccupying Rav? We'll try to explain. There is a prohibition, a well-known prohibition in Jewish law, in transactions, in commercial relations between two Jews, the prohibition of usury, of interest, of ribis. We'll refer to the term of interest henceforth by the term ribis. Before analyzing the Gemara and the case at hand, if I was, let us say, borrow $1 from you, and I pay you back months later, I have to pay you back that which I received from you, $1. I borrowed currency, I return the same thing I received, the same currency. If I, let us say, borrowed from you a cup of sugar, and the cup of sugar at the time that I borrowed it from you was worth $1, several months later, the cup of sugar is worth, because of market fluctuations, goes up in value, and you'd have to pay $2 for the same cup of sugar. So according to the laws of interest, it would be prohibited for me, who borrowed the cup of sugar worth $1, to pay you back a cup of sugar later on that happens to have gone up in value. Going back to our Gemara, Rav borrowed gold coins. If Reb Chiya, and we mentioned that the gold coins became worth more, what does that mean, they became worth more? Well, we can say their buying power increased, whereas with one gold coin, you could buy a single cup of sugar. Several months later, with one gold coin, you can buy two cups of sugar. So we can say, in a manner of speaking, that the gold coin went up in value. Its buying power increased. Oh, so now Rav is worried. Let's try to keep things simple. I borrowed a gold coin from your daughter. Can I now pay her back months later a gold coin that happens to have increased buying power? what does Reb Chiya say? Amar le, Reb Chiya says, Zil shlim lo tovin utekilin. We're not going to translate that literally, but what Reb Chiya is saying, you pay her back exactly what you received. If you received a gold coin, you give her back that same denomination of gold coin as payback for the loan. According to the laws of halvois and ribis, I amris bishlamo davo tivahave. If you say that the gold is viewed as the currency shapir, so then this ruling of Reb Chiya is easily understood. That when it comes to the laws of borrowing and paying back, if you borrowed currency, you are to return that same currency, regardless of increased buying power. That doesn't have any influence vis-a-vis the laws of ribis. That's not called paying back with interest. You borrowed a dollar. True, the dollar has increased buying power, but that does not make it such that by my returning a dollar to you, I am giving you more than I received. Eloi amris pira have. If, however, you view the gold coin as pira, as produce, as an article, and not as a currency, then the payback would be havi le saw besav aser. Saw literally is a measure. We used the example before of borrowing a cup of sugar with the intent of paying back a cup of sugar later on. But the rule says, the rules of ribis say that if sugar became more expensive, then though I borrowed one cup of sugar that could have been purchased for a dollar, I cannot pay back a cup of sugar months later that is then worth $2. That is you. That's referred to very commonly by the term sa'ah b'sa'ah, which literally is measure for measure. And that's usur. When we speak about, technically speaking, when we talk about things increasing in price, it's the produce whose price fluctuates. The oranges become more expensive, the oranges become less expensive. Market fluctuation or price fluctuation is in terms of the produce, not in terms of the currency used to pay for them. The currency is viewed, as you probably surmise from this discussion, as a static, ongoing, inflexible item of value. When we refer to increased buying power and decreased buying power, it's not as if the gold became more expensive or less expensive. Rather, it's because the produce that was acquired through the gold, if you had a bountiful harvest, so the per pound cost of the items harvested will be less. If you had a year of drought, so the per pound value price of those items will be greater, will be more expensive. So what is fluctuating in value is the produce, not the currency. I understand that when you learn a Gemara like this in terms of, say, international currency markets and, let's say, currency price fluctuations, you're introducing another, let's say, dimension of analysis, which, let us say, for simplistic purposes, let's consider that an additional level of analysis, another realm of understanding that is beyond the purview of our immediate Daf Gemara. So, in truth be told, the elements of analysis might very well apply to modern currency markets, but it gets us involved with additional classifications of what's really the pira and what is the tiva. And there are major nafkaminas, there are major halachic ramifications when it comes to, we'll say, borrowing a form of currency and paying it back with a different form of currency, a different, say, national form of coinage. Borrowing, let's say, Swiss francs and paying back with American dollars. It's not my intention to create any confusion or complexity, rather to point out that these issues that are featured in the Gemara have halachic relevance to very current, pun intended, all situations. Let us go back to the Gemara. We saw that Rabbi Chiya, by telling his nephew Rav, if you borrowed one gold coin from my daughter, you pay her back one gold coin. That shows us that the gold coin is the currency. Because if the gold coin was not currency, but rather was pira, there would be a prohibition of that kind of borrow and payback that we refer to as sa'ah b'sa'ah. The Gemara rejects this. It could very well be that the gold is really pira. And you'll ask, well, isn't there a problem of saw b'saw? So the Gemara will answer here. The Gemara happens to be very terse. There's much greater discussion in the fifth perek of this Masechta on these topics. Perek Ezuneshech, which is a perek that's dedicated to the laws of Ribbis. But for the time being, the concept of ribbis is integrally related with the issue of time delay. In other words, I'm borrowing money from you now, or I'm borrowing an item from you now, with the intention of payback later on. If we can construct a case where there is no time delay factor. In other words, time-wise, I'm taking something from you right now, and right now, right here and now, the payback is made. In a moment, you'll see that's not a statement of insanity. We'll explain that very shortly. But just review the point. If I take something from you now, I borrow something from you now, and the payback could in fact be immediate. For technical reasons, we'll say a distance factor, the payback is currently inaccessible because of a lost key. And that's the only reason the payback might be delayed, but not because of a time factor. Not because that the loan is established on the basis of my paying you back specifically later on, time-wise. I don't have the item. I don't have the means of paying you back now. You'll just have to wait. Well, when we speak in those terms, you'll just have to wait. Time-wise, I'm going to pay you back 30 days from now because I don't have the means of paying you back. At that point, we enter the realm of the laws of ribbis. However, if the delay time factor is not present, then we are not dealing with the laws of ribbis. Ribbis, just to repeat ourselves, has to do with the time factor. There's an expression in Aramaic, agar notar. Oh, agar is payment, notar for waiting. For you're agreeing to wait, I will pay you back more than I received. But if the transaction is not in those terms of you're agreeing to wait for the passage of time, then we're not involved with the laws of ribbis from the outset. And now, with that lengthy introduction in mind, we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara rejects what Rapia based his proof on. Rav Dinri Havile, when Rav borrowed the money from Rapia's daughter, when he borrowed the gold coins, Rav owned gold coins. You might ask, well, then why did he borrow them? They were down the block and he needed them right now. But the main point is that when Rav borrowed the gold coins from Reb Chiya's daughter, from his cousin, he had ownership in another location of gold coins. The Kevon Dahavu Lei Dinri, since he was in possession of gold coins, and he was now trying to borrow gold coins from Reb Chiya's daughter. Nas the Kaimer Lord says, if he said to her, Halveni, at sheyavo bini, o at sheemtso mafteach, extend me as a loan the gold coins until my son comes. He has my gold coins with him, and he'll give you the gold coins in return. Or give me the gold coins until I find the key. In both of these examples, you'll notice that there was no time factor that was built in to the initial loan. If in fact Rav's son had gold coins, and as soon as he took the gold coins from Reb Chiya's daughter, his son popped up, he could give them back right now, and he would be willing to give them back right now. There was no time agreed, let's say time delay for the return. That being the case, it could very well be that the gold is pira. And the fact that it becomes more expensive later on does not bother us, because when Rav borrowed the gold coins, which we'll refer to now as pira, in your mind's eye, the gold coins that Rav owned became transferred to his cousin. And as Rashi says, since we view the gold coins that Rav owned as being immediately transferred to his cousin, to Rav Chiya's daughter, the subsequent increase in value of the gold coins, which we're calling pira right now, is in the lender's domain. The whole issue of what saw basaw, Rashi points out, is a rabbinic prohibition, and in a case where the borrower himself happens to be in possession of, owns that particular item, that form of produce, the payback of the increased produce later on isn't a problem at all. So if you're not in possession of the item to be paid back, the produce to be paid back, and it increases in value later on, that would be a rabbinic prohibition of saw basaw. In a situation where the borrower of the cup of sugar, the borrower of the gold coins that happens to be called right now pira, when he's in possession of it, then the rabbis did not impose their gezeira, their rabbinic ruling against saw basaw. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rava. Again, we have a diamond, and you see we have also a long marking here. Hai Tana Sovar Dava Tivo Havi. Rava tells us that the following Tana, who appears without any name in the following Tanaic source, is also of the opinion, like the Yalduse the Rebbe, that the gold coins are viewed as the currency. We mentioned earlier, and we did so deliberately, that when we speak in terms of market price fluctuations, what actually is changing in value is the produce, is the items purchased. The currency used to pay for them is a constant. It is not changing in value. True, its buying power may increase or decrease,
but that's a reflection of the change in value of the produce. When establishing payment rates, it is more let's say logical to express payment rates in form of a constant, that which doesn't fluctuate in value. That may sound a bit abstract. We'll try to make it a little more realistic through the example featured in the upcoming source. The upcoming source will feature different currency denominations, and all of this will be taught in the context of redemption of a firstborn son. We call Pidyon HaBen. First, let's read the source. You notice we have a Tanaic source marked off with our standard frame marking. Within the Tanaic source, you'll notice some bracketed sections. Those bracketed sections are the, we'll call the Gemara interrupting, the Gemara inserting what practical value is there in knowing the currency rates established set in the source. So with that in mind, we'll be able to read the source straight through, appreciating why we have a couple of sections in brackets. As we said, those are the Gemara intervention throughout the source. Pruta, well, just to repeat, Rava holds that the following Tanaic source reflects the youth opinion of Rebbe that dava, that gold, is viewed as the currency, desanya. And before we even get to the gold, we go through a few lines beforehand. Pruto shomru, the rabbis refer to a denomination of currency called the pruta. That pruta is echad mishmoina beisur italki. It's 1/8 of an Italian isar. Isar, another form of currency. It's 1/8 of an isur italki. Lamai nafgamina. What practical ramification is there in my knowing that coin relationship? Answer, likidusha isha, for the purpose of marriage of a woman. The Mishnah in Kedushin features a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What is the minimum amount that would be offered to a woman and her accepting of it that would establish a marriage? So Beis Hillel's opinion is, offer her a pruta. Well, what does that mean in practical terms? So the source is revealing to us, it's that type of copper coin, 8 of which you would acquire through an isur italki. So if you went to a money exchanger and gave him an isur italki and you got 8 copper coins, you would know that one of them is the pruta, and that could be used to establish a marriage. The next kind of coin, Isser, we just made reference to the Isser coin. It is Echod Me'esim V'Arba Bediner Shel Kesef. You will find 24 Isarim in a silver dinar. Dinar type of a denomination, a silver coin. And Lamai Nafkamina, what practical benefit is there in my knowing that? Lamekach U'Memkar. It has, there's practical ramifications for commercial purposes, more specifically for the rules of Oino, the rules concerning the prohibition of overcharging. Rashi explains this a bit further. Let's glance at Rashi, though this is not the focus of our discussion. Rashi, a couple lines up from here, says, Lemekach U'Memkar, Mochalo Dinar. If a person, let us say, transferred a dinar coin, b'yoyser me'esrim v'arba isrin, and received in exchange for the dinar more than 24 iser, koma shehelo yeser al kain nisane lokeach. Anything more than 24, so the one who acquired the silver coin is considered the victim of oino, of overcharge. V'yemyesh oino shtus yachzir oino. And if the overcharge reaches the level of a sixth, then that has to be repaid. So it's important to know that 24 isurim are found in a dinar, 1/6 of 24 would be 4. So that if, let us say, I acquired a dinar of kesef and paid not 24 isurim, but I paid, let's say, 29 isurim, well, then I was overcharged. He took from me 29, which is more than 4 isurim, more than 4 isurim above the 24, which would have been the proper equivalent rate. More on the topic of overcharging will be the subject of sugyas later in our perek. Now, let's get to the heart of things. Dinar shel kesef equals echad me'asim v'chamisha b'dinar shel zahav. A silver dinar coin is 1/25th of a gold coin. A gold dinar coin. So a gold dinar coin is worth 25 silver dinarim. L'may nafkamina, what practical benefit is there in my knowing that? L'pidyan haben, for the purpose of redeeming of the firstborn. We made reference to a silver dinar. Let it be known that there are 4 silver dinars in another kind of coin called a sela. We will see more about this in the Rashi, but it's good to know it ahead of time. A sela is a rabbinic term that you find we find for it a different word in the Torah. The Torah uses the term shekel, that would be the same thing as the sela spoken of by the rabbis. The truth is, and I certainly don't want to confuse matters, but the term shekel is a term that you find in rabbinic literature, but it's different than the shekel found in the Torah. For our purposes, though, be aware, and we'll see this very shortly in the Rashi, that 1 sela contains 4 dinarim. How many sloim are used for pidyon haben? When a person has a firstborn male child, we'll say it's his wife's firstborn, and it happens to be a male, the firstborn child of a woman that happens to be a male, needs to be redeemed. We call that pidyon haben, and 5 sloim are given to the kohen who thereby redeems the child. 5 sloim. In the Torah, you see the term shkolim, 5 shkolim. Now, we look at the Rashi. The pidyon haben, Rashi just a couple lines up from here. Shehu chamisha shkolim. Pidyon haben, the redemption of a firstborn, is accomplished through the payment of 5 shkolim. The shekel deraisu sela. The shekel referred to in the Torah is what we refer to by the term sela. V'hasela dalid dinrei kesef, and a sela contains 4 silver dinarim. So how much in dinar terms, in silver dinar terms, is pidyon haben? Shehem chof dinar. 5 sloim, which each sela is 4, so 5 times 4 gets you to 20 dinarim. V'im nosan lo avi haben dinar zahav, if the father of the firstborn would give a kohen a dinar zahav, what is the value of a dinar zahav? Well, we saw in the Tanaic source it contains 25 dinar kesef. How much is the kohen entitled to from the avi haben? Not 25, 20 dinar kesef. If the father of the firstborn gave a kohen not 20 dinar kesef, but one dinar zav, machsilo hakayin chamisha dinar kesef. The kohen received 5 more dinar kesef than he should have received. Just to repeat, in receiving the gold coin, he in effect was receiving the value of 25 dinare kesef. How much is a kohen entitled to? 20 dinare kesef. The source we just read said that a dinar kesef is 1/25 of a dinar zav, and knowing that has ramifications for pidyon haben purposes. And when we say ramifications for pidyon haben purposes, what we mean to say is that giving a father a dinar zahav requires the father to, let's say, evaluate, I should maybe say requires the kohen to evaluate what are his obligations now that he received a dinar shel zahav. We continue in the Gemara with Rava's point. E amris bishlamo tivo have. If you say that the gold coin is the currency, and Rashi points out that which we've mentioned numerous times today, that that increase, expense, zol, cheapening, is not dependent on the gold coin. The gold coin is a gold coin. It's a constant. So if you say that the gold is considered tiva, mishayer tana b'midi dekitz, the tana establishes, evaluates the payment of pidyon haben in terms of something that is kitz, that's fixed. Immediately, we learn Rashi, Mishayer Tana B'midi Dekitz, Shi'er, Shi'er means calculates, Shi'er Tana Pidyon Haben B'matbea HaKotzuf, in terms of a fixed value currency. Shafilu Bizman She'enoi Nimkar Yoiser Me'esrim Dinrei Kesef. Imagine there are times that a gold coin, when exchanged at a money changer site for silver dinarim, will fetch only 20 silver dinarim. Yachsir loy hakayin chamishis shebedomov. The kayin nevertheless will have to return 1/5 of what he received. Dahainu dalid dinrim. The point we mentioned earlier, that a gold coin usually is exchanged for 25 dinare kesef, and the father who paid a dinar zav to the kohen required the kohen to return, in that case, 5 dinare kesef. But that 5 dinare kesef is not an objective rate. Really, what we're saying is that the kohen is returning 1/5 of the value of the gold coin that he received. It just so happens that when 25 dinar kesef are exchanged for a dinar zahav, the kohen returns 5 dinar kesef. But to repeat, the 5 really is 1/5 of the dinar zav is being returned. And therefore, if you are in a time that a gold coin, a gold dinar, can be exchanged only for 20 dinare kesef, don't make the mistake of thinking, well, that 20 dinare kesef is really 5 sloim. No, don't think like that. But rather, the gold coin that you received, which was worth 20 dinar kesef, requires the kohen to return 1/5 of that. Well, what's 1/5 under those circumstances? 1/5 of 20 is 4 dinar kesef. So as Rashi says, reading that line again in the Rashi, Yachsir loy hakain chamisha shebedomov dahinu dalet dinrim shazov tomi domov ksuvim chav hei dinrim shu hamat peya. The dinar zahav is always viewed as 25 dinar kesef. It, the gold coin, being the matbea, is the fixed rate. Va'kesef ave pira legabe, and the silver coins are viewed as the produce relative to the gold coin. Va'hamois hein shehukru, the mois is a reference to the silver coins that happen to, in that case, have gone up in value, so that whereas originally 25 would be exchanged for a dinar zahav, since the kesef became more valuable, the dinar zahav would be exchanged only for 20 dinar kesef. V'im nimkar b'shloishim, and if a dinar zahav would be exchanged for 30 silver dinarim, lo yachsu lo hakein elo chamisha shebedomov dehainu shisha dinarim. You would take 30, and again, analyze like we did before, 1/5 of 30 is 6. 5 times 6 is 30. Shedomov le'olam tsuvim. The gold coin is always fixed. Varbo chum shedomov hein pidyon haben. And 4/5 of the gold coin, whatever is the 4/5, that is what constitutes pidyon haben. So the Tana that we saw was explaining that 25 dinar kesef figure into a dinar zahav, and the nafkamina, the practical point of knowing that, is for pidyon haben, namely for redeeming one's son with a dinar zahav. And as we saw in the Gemara, let's read that again. If you say that the gold coin is the currency, the Tana makes his calculations based on that which is fixed. We say makes his calculations in terms of a father paying with a dinar zav, and we calculate how much must the coin return. But if you're going to say that the gold coin is the pira, is viewed as the produce, the merchandise, Mishayr Tana b'midi de'oikir v'zil, would the Tana make a calculation based on something that goes up in price, goes down in price? Zimnin de mahadi le'kano v'zimnin de moisif le'ihu le'kano. Well, if that would be the case, then sometimes the kohen is going to have to return to the father, and sometimes the father is going to have to return, or is going to have to add to that which he gave to the kohen. Elo shma mino, from the fact that the Tana presented the gold coin as the nafkamina for pidyon haben, if a father redeems with a gold coin his firstborn son, that shows us tivo have shma mino, that the gold coin represents the currency, that which is fixed. And as we said before, knowledge that 25 dinar kesef figured into a gold coin, we were in effect saying that 4/5 of the gold coin is the amount that the father is obligated to pay. And being that the 4/5 of the gold coin is always the amount that the father pays, we are in effect showing or demonstrating that the gold coin is that which is fixed in value, and that the coin is always, if he's going to receive a gold coin for redemption of someone's son, he is always going to have to return 1/5 of the gold coin's let's say buying power in terms of silver dinarim. As we continue in the Gemara, you notice a firebox marking that indicates that which follows is going to be
the center of our attention for a significant amount of Gemara. We mentioned much earlier in today's shiur the reference to redemption of the Miser Sheni tithe. At this point, we embark on that sugya. We have a topic heading on the side of the Nosei, which reads Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. A disagreement will arise between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai b'inyan pidyon mois Miser Sheni, with regard to redemption of Miser Sheni funds, mikesef lezov. If I had Miser Sheni produce that I had transferred its sanctity onto silver coins, what happens if I attempt to transfer the sanctity from the silver coins onto gold coins? In making this presentation, we may have made a certain assumption that everyone is familiar with, at times that's dangerous. We should not make assumptions. So let us point out that in Jewish law, when one harvests his fields of produce growing in the land of Israel, he's obligated to separate certain tithes. Without getting into all of the different kinds of tithes, let us mention that during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year sabbatical cycle, a person separates 10% of his produce, and it is designated as Miser Sheni, and it is brought, those fruits, that 10% of his produce is expected by the Torah to be brought by the owner to Jerusalem, within the walls of Jerusalem, and consume them over there. At times, though, very often, 10% of one's harvest is, quantity-wise, is a large amount. Could have several truckfuls of produce that represents 10% of his produce. How is a person to bring so much stuff, to lug so much stuff to Jerusalem? So the Torah gives a person an option. Tzarta kesef biyodecha. The Torah speaks in terms of redeeming the sanctity that the Miser Sheni produce has, transferring its sanctity. We spoke about the need for eating those fruits in the walls of Jerusalem. That is a manifestation, it's a reflection of the sanctity that produce has. One is forbidden to eat them outside Jerusalem. He cannot eat them wherever he pleases. But if it's too much quantity-wise for him to lug up to Jerusalem, he can, by Torah law, redeem them, the value of the fruits, onto money. And the money he would then bring to Jerusalem. And common practice was to buy shlomim sacrifices, offer them in the Beis HaMikdash, and the owner would eat the meat there in Jerusalem. In light of the laws of redemption of Miser Sheni produce, we spoke just now, we made reference to a machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, to an individual who is transferring, he's rolling over the sanctity from one form of currency to another. A second point to be aware of, Mahadin Bepidyon Peros Mamish Al Zahav. Can one make the initial redemption of produce onto gold coins? We mentioned a pasuk, Tzarta Kesef Biyadcha. That pasuk makes reference to one redeeming onto silver coins. In light of what we've discussed till now, what about redemption directly onto gold coins? Is that acceptable? We might mention, and I don't think it's premature, but the concept of redemption, when you're dealing with redemption outside of Jerusalem, it's a form of, let's say, easing the burden on the owner. Now, the burden is eased when you enable him to transfer
sanctity from the fruits onto coins. It's much easier to bring coins to Jerusalem. But to transfer, let us say, the sanctity from fruits onto other fruits, that's not something that we would accept. That's not within the realm of the laws of redemption. Certainly when speaking of redemption outside of Jerusalem. Redemption of Maaser Sheni outside of Jerusalem. So we just mentioned this idea that redeeming from fruits onto fruits would be out of bounds. Well, what about Zohov? Did we not make reference to Zohov? Certainly according to the Ziknusei de Rebbe, according to the opening of our Mishnah, the way it appeared, Zohov was viewed as Pira, was viewed as fruits. So this becomes an issue. Can one redeem the actual biological or botanical fruits onto something that we would call legal fruits, Zohov? Don't be confused by the common saying of gold doesn't grow or does grow on trees. That might just confuse matters here. It goes without saying that on a simplistic level, gold is inanimate. It's not part of the realm of the living. It's not viewed in biological terms. Hence, it's not exactly fruits in the simple manner of speaking. However, in light of the Gemara before, where we were looking at gold as pira, this may very well become an issue. Can you redeem actual Maaser Sheni fruits that you harvested onto gold coins? Let us take note of additional structural points in a moment. First, we open the Gemara with we'll read now just two lines of Gemara. Tanan Hossam. It is taught there in the context of Maaser Sheni redemption. In Maaser Sheni redemption, we mentioned earlier and a few times the principle that you redeem fruits onto currency. You don't redeem currency onto fruits. Again, we're speaking about your travel from outside Jerusalem to Jerusalem. You wouldn't redeem currency that has Maaser Sheni sanctity. You wouldn't redeem the currency onto fruits. So the Tanaic source says as follows: Beis Shammai Oimrim Lo Yase Odom Silin Dinrei Zohav. Here we're featuring someone who is transferring sanctity from silver onto gold. So Beis Shammai says you are not to do that. Do not transfer from silver coins onto gold coins. Transfer the sanctity that was initially transferred to the silver, and now try to redeem that, transfer it, the sanctity over to the gold coins. So Beis Hillel Matirin, and Beis Hillel says you can do that. You can go from Kesef to Zohov. Before we can get into the nitty-gritty of the Gemara, we must sensitize ourselves to the structural aspects of this sukkah. We have under our Mivneh heading triangles with Roman numerals 1 through 3. Allow yourself to scan ahead. You will see that these triangles continue clear down Daf Mem Hey Omet Aleph. In the course of today's shir, it does not appear that we will go through all of them. Certainly, the first triangle, which will take us to midway down Mem Hey Omet Aleph, will be of immediate interest to us. But these three triangles represent Gimel L'Shenes B'Machlokes Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, three versions in presenting a machlokes between Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. A house marking appears, highlighting Deos B'mahi hamachloikis beishamai ubeishilel. Opinions as to what is the explanation of this disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Lelishna, number one, according to the first approach, Shnei Deos Hein, Aleph, Rak B'inyan Kesef Lezov, Avo Miperos Mamish Lezov, Divrei Alkol Poidim. One approach is that the machlokas between Beis and Beis Shammai arises only when you attempt to go from silver onto gold, but from actual fruits onto gold, divrei hakol podim. You'll see this bow tie mark highlighting the divrei hakol expression. Divrei hakol meaning everyone will agree that there is no problem in going from actual fruits onto gold. Beis. Gami peros mamish alzov machlokes. The second approach under Roman numeral number one will tell us that even from actual fruits onto gold, you have a machlokes between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Ubeis Shammai oisrin. Beis Shammai will prohibit that. The gam klapi peros mamish, that even with regard to actual fruit, real fruit, zov nech shapira. Gold is considered pira. And in this case, allow yourself the thought that gold grows on trees. I'm using that by way of helping to think about this. If you were to say that gold grows on trees, you could appreciate Beis Shammai's approach that going from actual fruits onto gold is not allowed because Zov Nechsha Pira Vein Poidim Pira Pira, and you do not redeem, you don't transfer sanctity from fruits onto fruits. Now, with that introduction in mind, let us turn to the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan V'Reish Lakish. Chad Omar, we don't know who says what, we just have pronouns here. One says machloikis, etc., and then you'll see a few lines later, the next house marking, the Chad Omar. That's a reference to the other one. Second line from the bottom, the Gemara gets involved with trying to establish who says what. But in the meantime, we just know that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue in how to interpret the machlokas, the earlier machlokas tanoim between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Chad Omar machlokas besilim aldirin. One says that their machlokas, their disagreement, concerns only this case of going from silver coins that received Meister Sheni sanctity and trying to transfer that, redeem that, onto gold coins. The Beis Shammai Safri. Beis Shammai is of the opinion Kaspa tiva vidava pira. This, by the way, is reminiscent of the Ziknusei de Rebbe, what we saw in our Mishnah. If you recall, we mentioned in passing when we featured the diamond markings earlier that there are additional opinions that view the Zohav as tiva in accordance with the Yaldusei de Rebbe. In fact, Beis Hillel here is going to be of that opinion. But you see, there are no diamonds here. We mentioned earlier we didn't mark off every single dea that holds like the Aldusei de Rebbe. In the meantime, though, Beis Shammai says you cannot go from silver coins onto gold coins. Why not? Because Kaspa Tifa, the silver represents the currency. I would like to suggest, when you speak in this context of redemption, the ultimate is to redeem onto currency. Well, once you redeemed onto the silver, which is the currency, the Dava Pira, and the gold, that's still in the Pira realm. The Tiva Pira Lo Mechalina, we don't redeem from outside of Jerusalem, certainly we do not redeem from silver, which is the currency, onto fruits, onto food. Ubeis Hillel Savri, they hold the opposite. Kaspa Pira. The silver coins represent Pira, the Davativa, and the gold, that's the ultimate in terms of redemption. That's the currency. Upira Tiva Michalinun. And that's the whole story of Meister Sheni, of redeeming fruits onto currency. So going from silver, which is Beit Hillel's a version of the Pira, onto gold, that's fine. You're going onto currency. Aval Pera Yisal Dinarim Divrei HaKol Michalinun. But going from original fruits that you harvested, and desiring to redeem them onto gold coins, and those, if your first act of redemption is from fruits onto gold coins, that's fine. Everyone agrees. Divrei HaKol Michalinun. You can do that. Even Beis Shammai, who before said not to go from silver onto gold, because the gold was viewed as pira, in a case when you're dealing with actual fruits, and then transferring the sanctity onto gold coins, once again, like we said before, we look at things in relative terms. Relative to actual fruits, gold coins are viewed as currency. And hence, that's fine. You're allowed to transfer from fruits onto currency. The Gemara continues, my taima, why does Divrei HaKol, everyone agree you can go from actual fruits onto gold coins? Midi dehave akesef leBeis Hillel, similar to the way Beis Hillel taught the law regarding silver coins. Kesef leBeis Hillel, silver coins according to Beis Hillel. Afogav de kaspa leGabi dava pira have. As far as Beis Hillel was concerned, silver relative to gold, the silver is the pira. Remember, that's like the Yalduse de Rebbe. The silver is the pira. Legabi pira tivohave, if you, let us say, had original fruits and wanted to transfer them onto silver coins according to Beis Hillel, you could certainly do that, so that you have a precedent through Beis Hillel's approach of going from actual fruits onto coinage that he, Beis Hillel, views as pira. But that's okay. So, Zohov Nami Lebe Shammai. Zohov, relative to original actual fruits, Afalgav de Dava Legabi Kaspo Pirahave, even though in Beis Shammai's mindset, gold relative to silver, the gold is Pira. Legabi Pira, relative to actual fruits, Tivohave, the gold coins are viewed as currency. Now our next house marking indicates the reference to the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We didn't say who holds what, but V'chan Omar Af B'Perus Al Dinrim Machlokes. Going from original fruits that you harvested and tithed as Meister Sheni, and trying to redeem them onto gold coins is a Machlokes. Namely, Beis Shammai would not allow that. Beis Hillel alone would allow that. The Gemara asks, Ulaman diomar af beperos adinri machlekes. According to this second mandomar, the second charomar, that there is a machlokes going from original fruits onto gold coins, where Beis Shammai prohibits, because that would be going from fruits onto fruits. And only Beis Hillel allows, because that would be viewed as going from fruits onto Tiva, where Beis Hillel reflects the opinion that gold coins are called currency. Ademiflegi Basilin Aldinrim, instead of, in the Tanaic source we saw above, presenting the Machlokes in terms of going from silver coins onto gold coins, where Beis Shammai prohibits and Beis Hillel allows, lifloig beperos aldinrim. Why not present the machlokes in a more basic form, going from actual fruits onto gold coins? Now, if Beis Shammai is not going to allow that, certainly they're not going to allow going from silver coins onto gold coins. Mind you, gold coins, according to Beis Shammai, are viewed as actual fruits relative to real fruits. All the more so, trying to go from silver coins onto dinrim, they, Beis Shammai, would certainly not allow. So why, in the original source, was the machlokas featured only in terms of going from silver coins onto gold coins? The Gemara says, "E iflug beperos al dinrim." If the machlokas would have been presented like you just suggested, going from actual fruits onto gold coins, Beis Shammai prohibiting and Beis Hillel allowing, hava amino, that would have left room for me to think, hani mili beperos al dinrim. Beis Hillel allows going from fruits onto gold coins, only then would going onto gold coins be allowed according to Beis Hillel. Avo besilim al dinrim. But trying to go from silver coins onto gold coins, modu lahen Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. Did the havo legabi kaspo pirahave falo mechalalion. It would have left room for me to think that even according to Beis Hillel, gold relative to silver, that the gold is considered pira, and you would not be allowed to go from the silver onto the gold. Komash malon, therefore the source teaches me that Beis Hillel disagrees even then, that you are allowed to go from the silver coins onto the gold. Namely, not only do Beis Hillel allow going from actual fruits onto gold, but even going from silver onto gold. At this point, we have structural information to deal with. You notice that a bracketed section begins. It's a rather long bracketed section. We have a note on the side, a starred note, which reads, Achrei Sograyim, after the bracketed section, a Gemara Mevi'a Toshma, the Gemara will introduce another source, which is a kushya, will be a question on Manda Omar Beis, on the second house opinion that we saw here. You'll notice that's right after the long bracketed section. Besoch, let me read the note again. We say there'll be a kushya on Manda Omar Beis, shesovar the Beis Shammai Oisrin Af Liftois Peros Al Zov. Up till now, we see this Charomer, the second opinion, holding that Beis Shammai would not allow going from actual fruits onto gold. We will raise a question on that after the bracketed section. B'soi chasogram ha-gemor menase legalois mahi emdas Rabbi Yochanan ha'imu madomer Aleph o Beis. Within the bracketed section, we're going to try to figure out, is he the first house or the second house? So once we've established, I think, that structurally we're going to return to the issue of going from actual fruits onto gold as being, according to the second Manda Omar, a machlokes, and a question on that will appear after the brackets, we can go at this point through the Gemara, focusing on the bracketed section. We mentioned that we had two opinions featured in the house marking Chadomar number Aleph and Chadomar Beis. Testayim de Rabbi Yochanan hu de Omar, let us conclude that it is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that says, according to Beis Shammai, Ein Mechalalin. Ein Mechalalin means that you cannot go from, even from actual fruits, onto gold coins. Without Rashi, I don't think this Gemara would be too understandable, so let's look at Rashi. Tistayim de Rabbi Yochanan hu de Omar le Beis Shammai, that he was the one that reflected the, or presented Beis Shammai as saying, Ein Mechalalin afilu peros al dinrim, that you cannot redeem from actual fruits onto gold coins. The Shamina Rabbi Yochanan, we will hear from Rabbi Yochanan the Ika Lamandomar Dava Pira Havi Vafilu Legabi Nafshe, that gold coins are viewed as fruits even relative to itself. When we speak in terms of relative to itself, this will remind us of a sugya we touched on earlier, where we spoke about se'ah b'se'ah. So we mentioned was a measure for a measure, meaning you cannot loan someone a cup of sugar and payback will be in terms of one cup of sugar. The problem in doing such a transaction is that in loaning the cup of sugar, its value may increase when payback comes. So that I borrowed a cup of sugar worth $1. When I pay back the cup of sugar, it might be worth $2. And that would be giving greater value to the lender than he initially extended, which in simple terms, we refer to that as interest. In speaking about gold coins as being viewed as pira, what would be the din if I were to have borrowed gold coins? Let us say I borrowed 5 gold coins. Would I be allowed to return at payback 5 gold coins? If you say, no problem, we actually saw that in Rabbi Chiya's opinion above, if you say that that's no problem, then you would be showing us that the gold coins are currency. If you borrow $1, you pay back $1, regardless of the fact that when you pay back the dollar, it might have greater buying power. But if you see a restriction in terms of paying back the same number of gold coins as you borrowed, you realize then that you're dealing with something that's not currency, but rather something that we would classify as pira. So that if gold is viewed as pira relative to itself, that would be the basis of an opinion that says you cannot redeem actual fruits onto gold, because that would be like pira onto pira, redeeming fruits onto other fruits. And we mentioned earlier that that's not acceptable when you're dealing with the redemption of Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, let us conclude that Rabbi Yochanan is represented by the second house marking. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, we continue at the top of Daf Mem Hei. Osir Luvois Dinar Bedinar. Now the word dinar, we saw earlier, is itself not very clear what kind of dinar are you referring to. So the Gemara has dinar demai. Which kind of dinar are you saying is prohibited? Ilema dinar shel kesef bedinar shel kesef. If you were to say that you cannot loan a dinar shel kesef with payback in terms of the dinar shel kesef, if I borrowed 1 dinar kesef, if you were to think that you cannot pay back 1 dinar of kesef, that's not true. Legabi nafshe miiko lemandor malav tivahave, regarding itself, silver for silver, is there anyone that would not classify it as currency? No, everyone would agree that with regard to itself, it is certainly tiva. Elapshita dinar shel zav bedinar shel zav. Rather, the prohibition that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned of borrowing and paying back dinar for dinar would have to be a dinar shel zahav. Uleman. Well, and according to whom does Rabbi Yochanan say that that's prohibited? Rabbi Yochanan is referring to some kind of prohibition, but we want to know in the spirit of which Tanaic school of thought does Rabbi Yochanan express that prohibition? E le Beis Hillel, if you were to think that that would be Beis Hillel's opinion, ho amri tiva have, but Beis Hillel established that gold coins are currency. we saw Beit Hillel above allowing one to redeem from silver coins onto gold coins. That would indicate that the gold is not Pira, the gold must be Tiva. Elolav Lebe Shammai. The gold coins would be viewed as Pira according to Beis Shammai. And hence, borrowing and paying back using gold coins, same amount that was borrowed would be paid back, would be problematic under the heading of Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. Ushma mino, and with this in mind, then we can conclude Rabbi Yochanan hu diomar ein mechalalin, ein mechalalinon, that Rabbi Yochanan is the name behind the second house marking that we had at the bottom of Amud Beis, of Mem Bal Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that Zohav is viewed as Pira, and therefore you would not be able to redeem Meiser Shani fruits onto gold coins. Now, the Gemara rejects what we just said. You notice we have a long marking. Loi. Li'oilom ei moloch Rabbi Yochanan hu diomar mechalalinon. Rabbi Yochanan might very well be the first house marking that holds that even Beis Shammai agrees you can redeem from actual fruits onto gold coins. The house markings that we had were dealing with the topic of redeeming Meiser Sheni. Ah, if so, that you could redeem, even according to Beis Shammai, from fruits onto gold coins, so the gold coins would appear to be Tiva. Why then would Rabbi Yochanan say, Asu Lilvais Dinar B'Dinar? V'Sheni Halva. The laws of halva, of borrowing and paying back, are different. Namely, even though regarding pidyon peros mamish, regarding redemption of actual Meiser Sheni fruits, you can redeem fruits onto gold coins, and in that capacity, the gold is considered like tiva, like currency. Nevertheless, when it comes to loans and payback, the dinar zohav will be viewed as pira, and it'll be a problem of saw basaw. Now, why is that the case? Why, by halva, would we say things are different? So the Gemara explains. Kevon dinin mekach umemkar, since with regard to commercial transactions, Shavuha Rabbonon ki Pira. The Rabbonon views of Zohav as Pira. We saw at the opening of our Mishnah, Hazov Kenes HaKesef, drawing the Zohav obligates payment of the currency of the Kesef. The Rabbonon view the Zohav as Pira, the Amrinon Ihu Niu Da'ike Vazil. When there's a price fluctuation in gold, we say it's the gold itself that either went up in value or went zeal down in value. Legabi havo nami pira havi, with regard to pira as well, as regard to loans, we would view the dinari zov as pira as well. And as we said, in that context, you get into the problem of se'ah b'se'ah. Hachi nami mistabra. It's also likely to go like the Dechiyah that we just mentioned, that Rabbi Yochanan would be the first house marking that would say, everyone holds you can redeem actual fruits onto gold coins, even Beis Shammai. Dechiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here Ravin quotes Rabbi Yochanan that says, Afapi Shamru Asu Lilva is Dinar B'Dinar, Avo Mechalin Meiser Sheni Olav. Even though it's prohibited to borrow and pay back a gold coin for gold coin, you nevertheless are able to redeem Meiser Sheni produce onto gold coins. Shma mina. So this is conclusive that the suggestion that Rabbi Yochanan would be the first house marking is the way to go. Ta shma. And now, we mentioned earlier, just to review, what are we about to do in the Gemara? We had mentioned that there exists an opinion. At this point, it could go either way. Is it Rabbi Yochanan? Is it Reish Lakish? I don't think that's central. But we saw up till now there is an opinion that says you cannot redeem original fruits onto gold coins. As a result of information in the upcoming source, we will be led to the belief that according to Beis Shammai, you certainly should be allowed to go from original fruits onto gold coins. Now, this source itself doesn't speak of that specific case, but from information in this source, we will try to extrapolate to that. The Gemara, Toshma, Haporet Sela Mimois Meiser Sheni. First definition, Sela is a silver coin. Mois in this source is a reference to copper coins. What is this person doing? This person has a lot of copper coins onto which he had redeemed his original Meiser Sheni produce. So if you follow sequence of events, original fruits onto copper coins, and now from copper coins onto silver coins. And this is all taking place on his way to Jerusalem. Copper coins, many copper coins, value-wise, could be transferred onto a single silver coin. So it would certainly make his journey that much easier by having to carry fewer coins. So what rules and restrictions apply? Beis Shammai Urmim, Bechol HaSela Mois. Beis Shammai says, you can transfer all of your copper coins onto silver that you have. You don't have any expectation or need to keep a few copper coins with their original sanctity, with the original Meiser Sheni sanctity on them. Just in terms of how to think about these things when you want to when you approach a vendor in Jerusalem and want to buy a small quantity of some inexpensive item, it's easier to conduct the transaction with offering the copper coins, which will be exact change, instead of buying some small inexpensive item with a silver coin, requiring the vendor to come up with the proper change. Nevertheless, the Beis Shammai says, we don't have to take that into consideration. You are entitled to transfer all of your copper coins onto silver coins. When you get to Jerusalem, you'll worry about how to handle things there. Beis Hillel Omrim B'Shekel Kesef B'Shekel Mois. The Sela is, we mentioned earlier in today's shiur, the Sela contains four dinarim. The Sela also is the equivalent of two shkolim, rabbinic shkolim, not to be confused with the Torah shekel that we made reference to earlier. Beis Hillel says if you have a Sela worth of copper coins, do the following. You can transfer half of your copper coins onto a silver shekel, but the other half of your copper coins, do not transfer their sanctity. Leave the copper coins with their sanctity, so that when you get to Yerushalayim, you'll have money immediately available for purchases. Because if you don't have copper coins, you're going to have to then go back to a money changer in Jerusalem with your silver coins and attempting to get copper coins for immediate transactions, small-level transactions. So it's a good idea to have ready, sanctified copper currency with you. Now, let's focus on Beis Shammai for a moment. Beis Shammai said you can transfer all of your copper coins onto the silver. Now, those copper coins, where did they get their sanctity from? From original fruits. You transferred original fruits, sanctity, Meiser Sheni, tithe, fruits, sanctity, onto copper coins. The issue in this source had to do with transferring their sanctity, the copper coins, onto silver. But as far as the first stage in the sequence of events, fruits onto copper coins, that was okay. Well, hashdola Beis Shammai legabi priti mechalalinon. According to Beis Shammai, you're able to go from actual fruits onto copper coins. Legabi dava mibaya. Would there be any problem in going from actual fruits onto gold coins? If you want to talk in terms of currency, at this point in the Gemara, it would be obvious that if you're willing to view copper coins as a legitimate form of currency to absorb Maisa Shani sanctity, all the more so gold coins. So at this point then, we have a problem for Manda Omar Beis that said before that going from Manda Omar Beis is reference to the house marking we had at the bottom of Mandalam and Beis, that was an opinion that said that even from Peros onto Dinrei Zav is a machlokes with Beis Shammai prohibiting. Now, if according to Beis Shammai you can redeem original fruits onto copper coins, certainly you should be allowed to redeem from original fruits onto gold coins. The Gemara says, making that assumption is going too far, though. Shiny priti ba'asra desagion harifi. Silver, copper coins are different. They actually have an advantage over copper coins in places that they are common currency, where they're often used in transactions. They are more a currency, more a tiva than gold. And therefore, though Beis Shammai will allow transfer from original fruits onto copper, that doesn't mean that they would necessarily allow transfer from original fruits onto gold. We mentioned earlier that the Gemara will go on with more presentations of the Machlokes, Reb Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, but Amir Tzashem will have to deal with that in our upcoming shiur. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.